on the field, with the exception of
Reggie Bush.
didn't switch to 25 when he got drafted.
Nah.
Didn't he stick? Yeah, five. Because you know why? It's because five's a better number. Like, receivers at nine doesn't really work.
Nah. It gives, like, I don't know. Just not
Dwayne
good.
Bowe nine.
Dwayne Bowe? Was he two? Or he was 82 or something. I'm thinking of
college Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, I don't know if he was nine in college.
Because I think when Dwayne got to the NFL, that was still they had to wear. I think receiver.
He wore 80 in college.
80?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I was trying to think.
I'm trying to think of someone who wore nine too. Let's see. Julio. Well, he wore
eight.
He wore eight.
That's a weird thing. Why does eight work at receiver but nine doesn't?
Someone.
Didn't Kenneth Walker wear nine last year?
Kenneth Walker wore nine. I don't know.
Still looks weird.
Yeah.
As a running back, is he wearing nine? Is he wearing nine for the Chiefs?
Oh, who knows?
Am I grossly overthinking?
I think he is, because
am I totally forgetting someone who's obviously wearing nine? Here's another question I have.
Yep, Walker's still in wearing nine for the Chiefs.
Okay.
Can you get mad? Because this is the other problem with college football. Duplicate numbers.
Yep.
This is not another offensive player wearing five. I don't know, like,
the other thing is, I feel like I said, there's wrong on both sides, but one, DJ Pickett isn't some scrub. This is a five-star, highly ranked cornerback. And then two, they did go the courtesy of, they didn't give it to him immediately as a freshman. Like, hey, look, we understand you want number five. You ain't walking in here wearing it. We need to see you produce a little bit, because if we're bringing that number out, we're not just throwing it on some scrub. You better be a freshman, SEC All-American. He had a really good freshman year. So I think that's part of it too, for me at least. Like, if I'm Jaden Daniels.
Well, let's be clear. The reason why DJ is wearing five this year is
because
he's awesome.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to lose him.
Well, and on top of that, like, Kiffin gets in there, and I'm sure there was a negotiation. And we know Pickett obviously could have gone anywhere he wanted to play. And I'm presuming part of keeping him was keeping the number.
For sure.
Now, where I think Jaden might have also overplayed his hand . LSU will latch on to the new coach unlike any other fan base I've ever seen. Every fan base buys into the coach, but I mean, remember when how butthurt LSU would get when anyone would make fun of the family from Brian Kelly?
Oh yeah.
Like, they will.
They'll ride or die
correct.
For their guy.
And right now, Lane can do no wrong.
Right.
So, also Lane, I'm not going to get into it, but he was promised something by the other staff. Like, and then he just got into it. I was like, God, never change, buddy. The coach that kind of protected you is not there, and the new coach is the one that's got all the leverage in this situation.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of funny how with Lane, he's the one guy who gets no, like.
Well, we said LSU will, nobody goes head first into the deep end like LSU fans with the new coach.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Like, we were thinking about when Kelly did the, he was drunk on white wine and did the family.
Yeah.
The family, thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And like LSU, how buttered LSU fans would get about that.
Yeah.
They will, like, go all in.
Mm-hmm.
I just also think Jaden, I understand being annoyed. I think it's a very short-term view.
It is.
Because.
It is. Because I think, honestly, after this guy wears it, they probably wouldn't have given it to someone else. Like, it's not like it was just going to.
Well, Jaden, you're not going to play football forever.
That too.
But if you want to go and post-playing career, you want to be somebody that profits off of the LSU community, you have a lifetime of that. And now you put that in jeopardy.
Right.
I also think I'd be curious to know how much of this is Jaden and how much of this is Jaden's mom. Because one thing we do know about Jaden's mom is she's aggressive.
You could certainly say that. Like, and here's the other part of it for me, in a way. Like, I can understand the point of view or the part of it where LSU is still profiting off of the name, image, and likeness. And once the contract is up, I can understand where, hey, don't use us in the promo videos. Don't use us in, you know, advertising, whatever, because we're not getting payments out of that. But the number? Come on.
Now,
but I think that's a different conversation.
Yeah. I would like to see the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And know how much money's actually being made. My guess is it's not very much. Because right. We've never really seen, if it were a substantial number,
there probably would have been some reporting on it.
Well, I think somebody would have done it before this.
Right. That's fair.
Now, I guess it's also fair to point out, like, did they have other ideas about trademarks and whatnot? Because when the story first broke, I was thinking, man, this thing rhymes with, remember when Lamar tried to sue Troy Aikman? I think Troy's beer was called 8 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar was trying to get 8 trademarked and right. sued Aikman over that. This felt like one of those things where maybe they had merch ideas and ways to profit off that. I just think now, Jaden, I think you're at the point where the only salvage here is to quietly, after this weekend, let it go. You can be mad, but I'm telling you, long term, like, this is, he's not going to win public opinion.
No.
And
not at all.
You can come across like, I did the right thing by picking.
Right.
And I also think the ownership of numbers is dumb, but you know, you think about it in these terms, they have 2 Heisman Trophy winners other than him.
Those numbers are not used.
They're not in circulation. Now, how many schools, like Florida still has 11 in circulation. Florida still has 7 in circulation. Florida still has 15 in circulation. Now, I also understand LSU's its own animal. But to me, I think this was one of those ones where Jaden and the team thought this was going to be
kind of a slam easy, dunk. You know, layup, yeah. And it's not.
And they did not read the room correctly. All right. We now have even more movement at the top of the leaderboard. We'll get into the list. We'll talk about the FedEx St. Jude Championship out at TPC Southwind. Also, a little bit of news. That's why DeMichael stepped away about some erroneous or, I guess, incorrect reporting about the Grizzlies and Brandon Clark. We'll clear that up when we come back. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. DeMichael has had to step out to handle some news with the Grizzlies. So George and I are hanging out with you. George, while we're at it, let's get into the list. The FedEx St. Jude Championship. All right, George. Scottie Scheffler had started out with 5 birdies on his first 5 holes. He picked up another birdie on his 7th. However, after missing the green at the 8th hole, he's unable to get up and down. He drops down to 7 under, his first bogey of the day. He is still 5 under on his round. He has pulled within 1 shot of the lead following the drop shot. The lead is held by Sungjae Im. Sungjae fires another 66. After a 66 yesterday, he is at 8 under par, currently leading the way. At 6 under, 2 shots off the lead are Nico Echevarria, Ludvig Åberg, the Kitty Cat, Kurt Kitayama. There's another group at 5 under, tied for 6. including Sudarshan Yelmaraju. He's the guy that tried to shoot a shot with Sidney Sweeney. Got to give props
Gotta
there.
Got to give props. Come on now.
Keith Mitchell, he played at the Baylor School in Chattanooga. So Heat maybe not getting to him. He's at 5 under par after a 66 today. Patrick Cantlay also fires 66 today to get into the clubhouse at 5 under. Jake Knapp, Wyndham Clark, also all at 5 under par, as is Tommy Fleetwood and Alex Smalley. The other names of note, Jordan Spieth, after tying for the first round lead yesterday, he is 1 over through 9, and it appears to be, as George mentioned earlier, the full Jordan Spieth experience, hitting it all over the map, 1 over par. He's at 4 under for the tournament. Rory McIlroy as 1 under through his round, 3 over for the tournament. Also, our boy Big Shot Bob.
Decided to pack it up early.
Decided he'd had enough. And he will, after an 82 yesterday,
yeah,
he withdraws. And I believe the note was he got $41,000 for showing up. So if you too could withdraw for 41 grand.
I mean, if I'm
probably paid for the week.
Definitely paid for the week. Correct me if I'm wrong. Par here is
70. Correct.
Yeah, if I trot out there day one and shoot 12 over, I think that might have just been a sign.
Yeah, let's
sign
see.
To call it a week. Call it a weekend.
Oh, I was hoping he had more. Let's see. He had 4 doubles or worse. For a while, I thought he had like 6 pars. I was hoping he had more doubles or worse than pars, but
hey, birdied on 16.
He's decided to pack it in and head on to next week. I think he would likely stay. He's at 31. You got to be top 50 to play next week.
I don't expect him to drop that far.
Seems unlikely. The big mover so far, Sungjae Im, needs to play well to move on to next week. He's currently up to 18th in the projected FedEx Cup standings. He's up 35 spots. Echevarria, who a good week would help, he's okay right now. Yelmaraju needs to have a big week. He's sitting at 45. Again, you got to stay inside that top 50, as is the same with Keith Mitchell. Cantlay's at 42, or I'm sorry, he's up to 39, so probably needs to stick there. It's hot. That's the other story.
Yeah, we saw they did not even a day to day, they did an hour to hour forecast on the golf channel.
On the
actual broadcast.
On the ESPN Plus broadcast, they did point out though that the daily record for August the 14th is only 103. Temperature's only expected to get to 101 right now.
Oh, what a massive difference.
I want to see, where's Nico living?
Nico
Echevarria. So he's obviously Colombian, but he played at Arkansas. A lot of Colombians played Arkansas, but I was laughing at this. I don't think this is coincidence. Sungjae lives in Dallas.
Okay.
Scotty lives in Dallas.
Yep.
Nico, I think, is playing out of Ponte Vedra.
Okay. Yeah.
So Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Ludwig, Jacksonville. Kitty Cat, I want to say he's Arizona. Kurt Kitayama.
Probably.
He's
from out in Chico. He went to UNLV.
No. He might be a Vegas guy. Yeah, he's a Vegas guy.
Oh, so yeah, this, I mean.
Well, it's a try.
Tim reminds us. Don't worry.
I got no idea where Yelmaraju is living right now. He's Canadian by nationality, but I know that's like not where he's playing. They're saying he's playing out of Mississauga. If that is indeed correct, he would be the outlier, because almost everyone else is from a warm weather. Keith Mitchell, like from Chattanooga, lives in, I think he's one of the Sea Island guys. Cantlay lives in Jupiter.
Ooh, wait, is... Okay, they're still gonna get some of this swampiness up in Mississauga.
Oh, okay.
It's off the lake. It's right on the lake, so they're getting a lot of that humidity still from that.
Gonna go out on a limb though. He's not used to this kind of humidity.
Probably not. No. Unless he's jumping in the lake and then hitting the course.
So, again, right now, Sung J.M., currently the clubhouse leader. He is at 8 under par after back-to-back 66s. He leads the way over Scotty Scheffler by one. Scotty and Rory just got to the ninth tee, and then Kurt Kitayama on the fifth hole just hit it about 12 feet. So, Kurt's likely to drop a shot. Let's go with Brandon Clark. All right, so I'm presuming this is what DeMichael is working on. So we've had a lot of varying reports, and it appears most of which might have some truth of accuracy, but they do not have the entire story. So Front Office Sports had a report yesterday that said multiple sources told Front Office Sports that Brandon Clark earned his full $12.5 million from the 25-26 season, but the final year of his salary won't be paid out to his estate because it wasn't protected for death. However, Clark did have a life insurance policy, sources say. It is unknown if the factors surrounding his death could impact the payout. That was then corrected by Yahoo and Kevin O'Connor to say NBA sources confirmed that Brandon Clark's contract was completely protected for death. The $12.5 million is expected to be paid in full through the life insurance. However, we have now subsequently learned that that is not indeed accurate. This will be coming from a USA Today story. According to a person with direct knowledge on the matter, the remaining portion of Clark's $12.5 million salary for the 25-26 season was paid out to his estate. Okay?
Okay. That's last year, we're good. Clear.
Everyone seems to have that detail down. NBA contracts are paid in installments, so the remaining figure left to be paid out at the time of his death was already dispersed onto his estate. As for the remaining $12.5 million owed to Clark in the final year of his contract, which was set to expire at the end of this upcoming season, that amount will not be paid out because Clark opted for his life insurance payments when negotiating his contract instead of death protection in death protection provisions. According to the USA Today story, the person spoke under the condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the matter and because they were not authorized to publicly comment on Clark's contract. So, I believe the life insurance is through the Players Association. And so, there's obviously, I mean, A, there's going to be a life insurance question.
Right.
Because of the nature of the death. But I'm going to stand up for the Grizzlies here. It is horrific circumstances.
Right.
Circumstances that they did not wish.
Of course.
I do not think voiding the contract is some type of horrific decision.
I also don't necessarily look at it as some sort of slight.
Correct. Like, to me, like, this is a, that is literally a contractual matter.
Right. This is purely bookwork.
Correct.
This is not, you know, not paying this. This is just, it feels like a whole lot about just what's on the books and what's not.
The front office story also noted that there was not a lot of NBA examples.
Right.
They did note, Front Office Sports did note that Yordano Ventura from the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Was paid out. Diego Yota, that just passed away recently from Liverpool, had their contracts paid out to their families, but they also note that there is not a standard universal rule in the NBA. Also important to note, the Major League Baseball has a very different collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
And the EPL and European club franchises operate entirely under a different set of circumstances.
And rules, for that matter,
correct,
too.
So, I don't know. To me, it seems like this is now going to be a matter between the insurance clause and the remainder of the estate.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that number is going to get negotiated. I still do not think the Grizzlies did anything improper here.
No, they didn't.
Did I even remotely explain that correctly? Because I know you're busy.
Yeah, I think so. If you look at what Kevin O'Connor said, he's pretty much like outlined. Mark Bernstein has actually gone on the record now.
Mark, of course, super agent.
Yeah, he's super agent, Priority Sports, Brandon Clark's agent. And yeah, they've confirmed these things to me as well. But one of the things he said to Kevin O'Connor, of course, he noted that he was, you know, disappointed. He said Brandon's contract was fully protected for a God forbid occurrence. Brandon's family and his estate are fully protected in Brandon's contract. So, yeah, basically, look, in the contract, it was pretty much agreed that he would be reimbursed for the life insurance.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're gonna get that, and I think even just throughout the entire process, the Grizzlies have been pretty supportive. I would say, I mean, I was just writing about it here, but just kind of just adding context to the entirety of the situation because I didn't even think we would be talking about these type of things, but I guess now with this information coming out, it just feels, yeah, you know, like certain layers needed to be added, like leading up to the process. Like they covered the funeral expenses. The Grizzlies did. They chartered a plane for.
I'd be willing to bet they have made a significant contribution to his foundation as well.
They have been super supportive throughout that entire process. So, yeah, this is almost coming off as like one of those. I mean, in front office sports, I think for the most part, is one of the best when it comes to the business side of the sports industry. But this is another one of those situations where people are saying, oh, here goes Memphis getting kind of attacked a little bit again. Because, I mean, you see Bartlestein's literally going on the record and coming out strongly refuting front office sports report. And it's weird because front office sports in the story said multiple sources. So this wasn't something that you heard from one person or whatever the case may be. But I've heard it now from pretty much both sides where this is the way that front office put it out was incorrect.
I have a serious question. Mm-hmm. Do they have to void the contract also for roster reasons?
I think you have to technically waive him.
Okay.
Like, that's the way that it works. Like, because he would still, even, you know, in his passing, he would still count as part of the 15-man roster.
There might be an actual roster issue here.
Yeah, you have to formally. And I think that part's done. Don't quote me on that. But I know he's not. He's at this point. He's not listed on the Grizzlies, even though that roster that's up on the NBA site for the Grizzlies is out of date at times. But I don't think he's listed on there anymore. And after May 11th, the day he passed away, he was still listed on there for a little while longer. So, yeah, I think you have to formally waive the player because contractually he's tied to the Grizzlies another year.
Right.
Then when you waive him, you have to figure out the money part of it, which
yep.
I think this – kind of
because it is a fully guaranteed contract. Yes.
Yeah,
so there's
NBA contracts are fully, like if we were talking to NFL, our minds would be spinning right now.
Well, I mean, this is not like a story that's come up here because, you know, it doesn't really reach our interest. But aren't the Giants basically going after Harrison Bader because he was on a scooter? Yeah. His injury was on a scooter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not protected.
Correct.
And by the way, they would like for him to show up again, right?
Yeah, right.
Because it's not just this year. It's not like he's an expiring, right?
Right, right.
Although I guess we don't really think of baseball contracts as expiring, but – well, and we're not playing next year either.
Right, yeah. That's the other part of it. Mm-hmm.
Don't remind me. That's a tough break when you're on the e-scooter. Like, if of all the ways to lose your money – I mean, again, you could always good after midnight because I believe it was 2 a.m. when he was on the scooter. So you kind of do the math on that one.
Mm-hmm.
The
scooter's worse than the Chris Sale. What was it? The bicycle with Chris Sale? Purcell had a couple. Didn't he throw the glove and hurt his arm before too?
Who was the guy? Didn't we have a pitcher that pulled his oblique sneezing in the shower?
Oh, who was that?
It wasn't Bartolo, right?
Because I don't Big Sexy would never.
No. That's my guy.
Somebody there's a sneezing injury. Now, that's always the one where it's like, uh-huh. Okay. Show your work on that one. That's one of those ones where it's like,
That was Kevin Pillar.
Yeah.
A violent sneeze.
Anytime
I hear listen,
about
as somebody who has horrific allergies, I've had plenty of sneezes where it hurts, but pulling your oblique is a step a little too much.
I mean, there was always the, was it Trevor Bauer with the drones?
Cut his finger, right?
Yeah. Mm. It was a pretty nasty one, too.
Mm. Of course, you never know with Trevor.
Yeah, true.
Don't
know if we want to dig up.
It does always feel like most of the funny or weird ones are always baseball players.
Oh, wasn't there one who, like, he fell out of bed or something?
Definitely. There's got to be,
but like a bigger one.
Allegedly, Dustin Johnson missed the Masters for missing a step on the stairs. Just saying, there's a lot of people that don't know if that is the exact reason he missed the Masters. Always speculation. Mm. What are some other good ones? This is not in the funny, but is there anything worse than when you lose a starting pitcher for a blister?
Max Fried was the king of those early.
Because
he had a playoff.
Anyone that's played knows if you have a blister on your finger, it is a disaster.
Yeah,
you cannot grip the baseball. Mm-hmm. But it is also one of those things where it's like, this isn't even turf toe, where we think we need to rename turf toe because it sounds like
it
a boo-boo.
Sounds like
A blister's even more. It's because, you can do everything else. Like, at least
Literally.
With turf toe, most guys get in boots.
Yep.
Like, with a blister, you can do anything else.
You literally can operate your day, similarly.
I found the two that I was thinking of.
All right.
Mookie Betts, when he broke his toe getting up to go to the bathroom and stubbing it on something. Broke one of his toes.
Is this a baseball thing? Am I picking up something?
And Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo blamed a stiff hotel bed in Cincinnati for causing back tightness and spasms.
This is
somebody with a bad back.
you can get behind
I'm
that
I'm not
one.
Saying.
You can get behind
I will
that
say
one.
This. I'd be more inclined to believe Rizzo than I would be to believe Pillar.
Yeah.
Like, the sneezing one, it's like, come on, man.
Mookie, I can believe that is absolutely what happened. Oh, man, I got up in the middle of the night, had to go to the bathroom, didn't cut the lights on, and just stubbed my toe really bad. But to break it?
I think we can.
Dude, sprinting to the bathroom?
Again, I've never been stabbed, been shot by anything more than a paintball or, a airsoft gun. One of the most painful experiences you can have, though, is stubbing your toe on metal.
Ooh.
It's awful. Oh.
That's one of the things that actually will make me scream.
This reminds me.
Yeah.
Kevin Jennings earlier this week. I jammed my finger.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of another low-key, you know when you haven't experienced something in a long time, but there's this sensory recall? Mm-hmm. It just broke me. It brought me back to every single time, whether it's you caught the football with the nose of the football on the finger and it jammed it, or, God forbid, when you're carrying the ball and then you got your hand on a helmet or whatnot. That feeling of jamming your finger, underrated painful.
Yeah.
That one's up there because Kevin Jennings, I think, jammed his finger this week on throwing hand. And then, oh, God, when you had to tape them together.
Oh, yeah.
Palm, y'all weren't catchers, but.
I was.
Oh, yeah, you have sides. Good point.
Yeah.
Getting the fastball on that fat part in between your thumb when you don't catch it clean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's miserable.
It's like a hard high five.
I mean, for years, my, like, it's still kind of this way. See how, like, my, it's still swollen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all from catching.
Mine was swollen, too.
Like, it's gone down from, like, when I was, like, 25, but it's still there.
Do you ever hurt your thumb when you used to catch it, like, at the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you turn your glove the wrong way?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. you get crossed up or you're, yep. you can't decide. It's one of those ones that you're trying to read it.
The inside corner when you're trying,
right.
to, you're trying to frame it.
Yeah.
But you're also trying to, you know, like, catch it cleanly.
Or yeah. the one where you can't quite decide, is it going to hit the dirt or am I just going to, yep. like, do I need to drop and block? Although kids don't do that anymore.
Nah, that's old school.
It's,
just get down to a knee, buddy.
I just had the joy of always playing with an old glove.
Ugh.
One that was well past, you know, I should probably get a new one.
Yeah,
but there's, when you find a glove that is like your perfect fit, like the your glove chose you, like the Harry Potter wand chooses you, there's nothing darker than that day that you get rid of it. Like, I had a, you strike me as a Rawlings guy.
Yeah.
How you know? I can tell. I can tell. I was a Wilson Pudge guy.
Okay.
I got not the black and tan one that everybody had.
Yeah.
The standard Pudge, the signature Pudge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had one come out that was like souped up with like a, it was black and gray and had one of those finger slots for your index finger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my dog got it.
That's the worst.
It was never the same after. Like, I tried to buy the same glove again. I guess I didn't break it in properly, whatnot, but it's like, it was never the same.
Yeah.
And you always just long for that moment of, like, I'd give anything.
I got that one glove like that, too.
There's no money that, like, you wouldn't pay. Like, it's the worst. All right. Speaking of baseball, Georgia's got the top 30 baseball movies of all time. In honor of the Field of Dreams game, and apparently this list is going to just infuriate us, so I'm looking forward to that. Let's talk about that next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Blake Topmeyer is going to join the program to kick off hour number three. We'll discuss his 10 biggest games of the season, as well as a little bit more insight into how you could be the Akron offensive coordinator for their season opener. But we had the Field of Dreams game last night, and I presume... this was someone in programming that was following along. Two nights ago, boys, I stayed up till about midnight finishing The Sandlot. It was on. They were running it, and I was like, you know what? Some don't hold up, still holds up. You know what? I think the biggest complaint I have, the Jets, the Benny the Jets, his swing stinks.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Who's our boy, the pitcher, that wears the Monarchs hat? He's by far the best player. Like, high leg kick, great throwing motion. They're all like 12. I don't even know if they're that old. Still held up, though. Still held up. All right, so we've got, in honor of the Field of Dreams game last night, which the Phillies won, 7-2? Was that the final?
Something like that. It was not much of a contest.
I think our boy Jonathan Bolin got in.
Schwarbs had a big, big night.
He had one of the... That was actually how I was alerted to the game as I saw the highlight. That was a textbook no-doubter.
You could certainly say that.
They also filmed that extremely well because that was a moonshot that very much translated to video.
7-1.
7-1. Okay, so you found a list of the 30 best baseball movies, to which DeMichael and I both looked. Are there 30 baseball movies?
There are 30 on here. And again,
how many of them did you know? Like, when you like,
not 30. I'll tell you that, like, much. Not 30 of them. Oh yeah.
All right. Let's do this. Read 30 to 10. Read the name. We'll just go through yes or no. You heard of it?
Because I got some.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, this is from the Sporting News.
Sorry, I don't know. I think I said Athlon earlier. Sorry.
This is from the Sporting News. This is from, like, their full staff. They did number 30, The Babe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's with Goodman, right? John Goodman?
Believe so.
Okay. Okay.
I've heard of it.
29, Angels in the Outfield.
Yes.
That's an old one. Yeah.
28, Little Big League.
Okay.
Yep.
27.
I told you, that was my favorite. That came out about the same time Rookie of the Year did. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I always liked Little Big League better. And maybe this was always the contrarian in me.
Really?
It does not hold up.
It's very funny you say that. 27, Rookie of the Year.
What? Holds up. Holds up better.
27?
Yep.
I mean, funky butt loving.
I wouldn't have had a top 10 or anything.
There's also something about the purity of a movie where one of the signature storylines is the stepdad becomes too cool for school. Like the stepdad becoming the agent. That was great. The other thing about Little Big League, we mentioned this, why it took the mom from Little Big League's PCA's actual mom.
Yeah.
Why was that not common knowledge before last year?
Mm.
I will never know that. All right, Rookie of the Year 27, too low.
26, The Phenom.
That was Brendan Fraser, right?
Pretty sure.
Is it Brendan Fraser and Al Brooks? See if that's I think that's the something Nebraska.
This is no. This is the one with
is
Ethan
that the
Hawke.
Scout maybe.
Ethan Hawke, Paul Giamatti, Johnny Simmons.
Nope, haven't seen that one. I've at least heard the name, but I haven't seen it.
25, Trouble with the Curve.
The Timberlake and mm-hmm. Clint Eastwood, Amy Adams. I think
yes,
not very good.
24, Hardball.
Criminally underrated.
24?
24. As whenever you guys said that earlier, I'm like, you guys are going to hate this list.
What type of list is this? What's going to be in the top 10?
You know what, though? That's also an era where Keanu was underappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Keanu would mm-hmm. Criminally underappreciated. We didn't, like, we've course corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the guys like Keanu, we've realized, like, we need them in our lives more.
Yeah.
Let's see, 23, Fever Pitch.
Okay.
Way too high.
I tend to agree.
Over.
22, Cobb.
Okay, with Tommy Lee Jones. It's Ty Cobb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
21, I like this movie, 21, Million Dollar Arm.
I remember the poster.
Million Dollar Arm?
Mm-hmm.
Is this an old one?
No.
No, this is like
this is the one with John Hamm.
Yeah,
John Hamm is the agent with the cricket players.
I haven't seen this one.
This is like Hamm was cashing in on Mad Men.
Yep, Alan Arkin's in it. Bill Paxton. Okay, I actually like the movie. I think the movie is pretty decent.
I haven't seen that one.
20, For the Love of the Game.
Yep.
Okay.
19, Everybody Wants Some.
Never heard of it.
Neither have I.
What's Everybody? It must be old.
Oh, don't worry. Number one is the oldest.
Well, it's going to be The Natural, right?
No.
Okay.
Older. Everybody Wants Some. Okay, this kid, I don't, is this, there's no way this is the same movie.
This list is making me scratch my head, man.
18 is The Rookie.
Okay.
Okay.
17, Bang the Drum Slowly.
Never heard of it. What's
Never
that?
Never heard of it.
I was going to say, I thought it was me, Bang the Drum Slowly.
No, I know.
As a baseball movie?
A baseball movie from 1973.
Okay.
It's Robert De Niro, Barbara Babcock, Phil Foster, Michael Moriarty. Who knows?
Yep, sure.
16, this is another one. Bingo Long All-Stars.
Nope.
Nope, no idea.
Where's the Benchwarmers?
I don't think it made the list.
That's a crying shame.
This is a 1976 movie. Looks about, it's about like Barnstormers.
Okay.
Yeah. Billy Dee Williams is in it. James Earl Jones, Richard Pryor.
So that's at least three baseball movies, right, for James Earl Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we've got Field of Dreams, Sandlot, this one. Mm-hmm. Do we have any others?
Not that I can think of.
God, how great would that be to just make a career off your voice and just doing baseball movies?
That'd be
awesome.
Awesome. Number 15 is Ephus.
Wasn't that a documentary?
I believe so.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that one.
Number 14 is Sugar.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. What is this?
Sugar.
It is a 2008 film set in the DR. It's probably about a Dominican player coming over.
Oh, I've heard Sugar was a nickname.
Well, I was thinking
for Miguel Santos.
Yeah.
Still.
I've not watched this one. It's,
yeah.
Very good ratings. Wow. That one I might have to pick up. That one sounds pretty good. 13, The Stratton Story.
Nope.
Nothing here for me. No idea. Oh, my God. Okay, so this is still might be the second oldest one. It is a 1949 biographical film telling the true story of Monty Stratton, a Major League Baseball pitcher. So, movie from the 40s. Love that one. Number 12, 8 Men Out.
Okay, the Black Sox scandal.
Yep.
Cusack, right?
Number 11, I think this one should be higher. Number 11 is 42.
Get out of here.
That's
42 wasn't top
10. Phenomenal movie.
42 wasn't top 10?
Nope.
I still miss Chadwick.
We
know.
We all do.
I had a couple like that I figured would be top 10, and that one
all right,
was on the
so
list.
So let's get to 10.
Number 10, The Sandlot.
Okay.
There you go.
Number 9, Bad News Bears.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So far, so good.
Mm-hmm. Number 8, A League of Their Own.
Okay. I think the other two are better, but I get it.
Number 7, The Natural.
Okay.
Number 6 is 61 with an asterisk. This was a made-for-TV movie about Roger Maris.
Yeah, it's with I watched that. Billy Crystal directed it. I remember that one.
When did 61 come out? When was this?
This is probably like 2003 or 4-ish.
Oh, one.
And this was back when HBO made movies for HBO.
Yeah, this one is from 2001. It's starring Barry Pepper and
Thomas
Jane.
I was about to say, it's the other guy. The guy that played the Punisher before Jay Barenthal.
Yes.
Or John Barenthal.
Number 5, Major League.
Okay.
Top 5.
Number 4 is Field of Dreams.
Four. Okay.
Number 3 Moneyball. Is Moneyball.
Okay, I was like, where's Moneyball? Okay.
Number 2, Bill Durham.
Two?
Is Bull Durham.
Yep.
All right, so because to me those are the two best. My thing is I would vote Moneyball, but if you want to say Bull Durham, I'm like that. To me, like those are the acceptable answers. So what is number one? Because I feel like this is going to irritate me.
This is likely going to irritate you. Number one is The Pride of the Yankees, a 1942 sports drama film directed by Sam Goldwyn himself.
This is the one with no.
You've seen
okay,
this?
So he,
You've
yeah,
seen this?
You know what this is. When you don't see it, this is the recreation of Lou Gehrig.
Yes.
So,
like Babe Ruth is actually in the movie.
Yeah.
With lines.
So, like when they used to not have all the, before, like they had all the found footage of Gehrig giving.
Can you watch
the,
that today?
Probably not. But I mean, this is one
it's
of
free
those,
on YouTube.
Really?
According to Google, yes.
Okay. This is a design to get engagement list.
Yep.
The other two are better, but I will at least say, like, not as in that is what it would be considered like a classic film.
I don't care.
But
they're better movies.
The other two are better. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Blake Topmeyer joins us next. Let's talk college football with Blake right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.